Hello and welcome to the Mixed Era Rap Podcast. I'm your host, DJ B Wise. This is a podcast where we talk about hip hop from boom bap to trap. We are a group of hip hop enthusiasts from multiple eras trying to bridge the gap in hip hop. My co-hosts are Kev, Terrell, and Malcolm. Terrell, tell them where they can follow us on social media.
They can follow us on Twitter at Mixed Era Rap. That is Mixed Era Rap on Twitter. And you can follow us on Instagram at Mixed Era Rap Pod. That is Mixed Era Rap Pod on Instagram.
That's what's up, Terrell. Really appreciate that. Today's episode, Top 5 Rap Collectives. If you don't know what rap collectives are, that is the Dungeon Family, that is the Juice Crew. It is groups of artists who gathered together to make music together. All right? So we're going to jump into it from youngest to oldest. Malcolm, what are your top 5 rap collectives?
My take is going to mention some young hitters. So I'm going to start it off with the ASAP Mob. That collective, when you talk about their, I heard some. We're going to mention Odd Future. When you talk about the Brockhamptons, you have to mention ASAP, the ASAP Mob. I mean, they came up when I was developing around middle school is when they came to fame. The earlier days of social media, and what they contributed from when they hit the scene to all the followers and all of the quote unquote copycats. Not trying to put any negative connotation on them or anything like that. Not saying they're not doing their own thing, but they looked up the ASAP Mob. You have to mention when you talk about on the music side, the most notable people are ASAP members are ASAP Ferg and of course ASAP Rocky. As you all know. You also have to mention ASAP Nas. But them two alone are the big hitters and the big names. Some highly criticized, but they have cemented their own lane when you're talking about contributing to hip hop. You also have the originator, ASAP Bari, rest in peace, rest in power. He was kind of one of the original, basically the starter of the ASAP Mob, but one of the original members. You also got to mention ASAP Bari. He contributed also a part of hip hop. When you're mentioning hip hop, mentioning fashion, that is another clothing was a part of the elements of hip hop. And he's contributing ASAP Bari contributed in his own way. He's not an artist, but he does contribute with his notable clothing brand, V-Lone. Some of the older heads may not know how impactful that brand has been for the so-called street culture today. So had to mention him. But moving on, going to mention Digable Planet. They were, when I first came across the just the sound, got it. So I'm going to move on to my next just outstanding collective. It's No Limit. When I first heard that sound, it was my mother playing Master P. I believe it was during the afternoon, one of his singles, and I had no idea what I was listening to. And when I went in and did my due diligence on what was going on at that time, who Master P was and what he brought. When you talk about the group, the collective No Limit, it just was outstanding. You have to, and then I found out about Silk the Shocker at years later, and I had no idea who he was. Come to find out, a part of the No Limit Collective and then the movement. So, you got Silk the Shocker, C-Murder. Of course, you and in my favorite, Mystical, because he just it's just something about that sound I've never heard before. Just ratchet, you know. And when you hear him, you know it's him. So, had to mention, No Limit Soldiers. They really contributed a lot to my development. When you talk about growing as a hip hop lover, because they opened the door for me to listen to a different sound of golden era hip hop. Just going to just want to listen to just different sounds at that time. So moving on, G-Unit, another heavy hitter. All thanks to, Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent. He's outspoken already. I mean, successful artist, successful businessman, and he brought together, the collective, featuring Young Buck. I mean, he's another artist that has, cemented himself in hip hop game, leaving, exclusive to the G-Unit, movement. And we also have to mention, the lyrical Lloyd Banks. When we talk about Lloyd Banks, I had to hear some other opinions from some older heads in regards to, I guess, putting respect on his name, because when I had listened to G-Unit and hear Lloyd, I just didn't. I don't know. I guess I was biased and like an unexperienced listener. You of course want to draw your attention to 50. If you've already been a fan of him before. So had to go and listen to Lloyd and do my own due diligence, and he's something special. Gotta mention The Game and Tony Yayo, as well as Mike Knox. I feel like unsung members of the hip hop community. But they do have their cult following, because that group of people that do listen to their music are true fans. So that's just the taste of the G-Unit group. Moving on, I'm gonna end it off with some heavy hitters here, some young heavy hitters. Quality Control. I had to mention them because I felt as though before listing the heavy hitters from our golden age and the development of developmental age of hip hop, I just felt you don't see as many collectives that are successful, and Quality Control is a new thing. QC, he did his thing. When you talk about knowing where we are and where the youth are, when you're talking about how to touch them with the music to the best of their ability, he knows that we are drawn to these devices right now, and he pumps his artists through social media. When you talk about just hearing snippets of songs and stuff like that, I mean, he knows what he's doing. And I mean, it shows when you talk about the layout and the layup of the song, of the roster. We're going to begin with Lil Baby. We've mentioned this young man however many times. When do we not talk about Lil Baby? He is the golden boy right now of QC. Not gonna spend too much time on him. Gotta mention Migos. I mean, they bring so much to today's hip hop game, and they brought so much to the 2010 to 20, however long they stay in the game, rap era. So had to mention them. We also have Lil Yachty, Rich the Kid. Those two are on their own, cementing their own path, and also artists that are successful and are able to tap into the young audience. And I'm going to end it off with, of course, City Girls. You cannot leave them out. They have everybody by the grip of their neck collar. When you talk about if they release something, you're going to listen to it. It doesn't matter if you want to or you don't. You're going to hear from the City Girls whenever they come out with a project or a single. Just came out with a Twerkulator. I don't understand how they had access to that sample, because the sample that came from, I've heard that song throughout my childhood over 1,000 times, I feel like. So I'm not going to spread my opinion. This is not what this conversation is going to be about that song, but just that shows the reach. And of course, you have to understand that does not come without quality control as a collective. They know that distributors and people that have the rights know that quality control has everyone's attention right now. And they understand that they have to leverage them. Unfortunately, they have the leverage when you're talking about the fan base and access through social media. So we're going to move on to end it off with Dream Chasers. Another young collective that I feel like is a story of its own. Meek Mill was under MMG MMG. That collective with Rick Ross. You can say it was successful at the time for however long it lasted. And I commend that movement. But for Meek to go through what he's gone through and have the success he's having now, and he's growing, I feel like. I just have to commend him for that. Discussing Dream Chasers, I mean, I feel like him, Meek Mill, Lil Baby, Lil Durk, they both are trying to turn it around a little bit when you're talking about what they're speaking to their urban communities about. It's not, I guess it's a facade. I don't know. They're trying to switch it, trying to be on a more positive tip to influence the youth, because they understand that these kids watch them. Their eyes are peeled to whatever they do, because everyone has social media. So had to mention Dream Chasers. They have the most notable member of Dream Chasers is O'Malley. He's been on there. He's been under Dream Chasers for some time now, and he's come out with his plethora of music. It's been kind of successful. You can consider it whenever you want. But also got to mention the Roc Nation swoop in and saved Meek with distribution for the Dream Chasers movement. It was some difficulties with getting out of the MMG representation. So that's how I'm going to end off my list.
All right, that's what's up, Malcolm. Really appreciate that information. I think that, you know, that shows almost like a theme song for your life there, you know, and I really appreciate it. All right, really appreciate that, Malcolm. let's move on to Kev. Kev, what was your top five rap collectives?
This was a very this was a very difficult list, but I'm gonna start off with four groups that I feel deserves some mention, and I guess those are my honorable mentions. I'm gonna start with Def Squad. I think they only really had one album as the Def Squad, but for the most part, these guys were featured on each other's album. So if you're not familiar with Death Squad, it's pretty much, it was EPMD and, you know, all the artists that they recruited, Keith Murray and Redman and K-Solo. There's a few others are part of that Death Squad at some point. Another group I want to feature is Odd Future. You know, we already did the show on Tyler, but, you know, it's the way these young people have been able to stay together as friends and has become more like a family, and how they put their material out where they're not really afraid to, you know, step outside of, I guess, the comfort zone of a lot of other artists. And, you know, they have a fresh sound. The stuff is very current, and they have developed an audience and have been very successful at it. And I think these young people deserve a lot of credit for all the stuff they've been able to do. My next is Black Hippie. The reason it's in my honorable mentions is because even as solo artists, I don't think these guys do a lot of work. But I understand that, you know, sometimes your product can feel watered down as much as you put out. So Black Hippie is Kendrick Lamar, J-Rock. Is Schoolboy Q in Black Hippie? Kendrick Lamar, J-Rock.
Schoolboy Q is in Black Hippie.
Yes, Schoolboy Q and Ab Soul. They never really did an album together, and I think that's what a lot of fans have been anticipating that they would do at some point, but I'm fine. I'm fine just the way they are, and I like the fact that they haven't done an album because it creates that mystique, but I wish they would do more features together. And my last on my honorable mentions list is Boogie Down Productions. I think, you know, when we look at their recorded material, it's a lot of KRS-One's material and not Boogie Down Productions, even though the Boogie Down name is on the albums. It's mainly KRS-One, but, you know, Miss Melody and D-Nice and Scott LaRock, you know, those four never really did anything together, but just those four alone have an incredible impact on the hip hop game. If you're not familiar with Scott LaRock, go out here, do your research or find out about him. Miss Melody was, you know, behind the scenes. She was incredible behind the scenes. But, you know, I think she and Scott deserve some recognition also. So my number five, I picked a group that I really enjoyed in the 90s. It's the Screwed Up Click. It was a very Southern group. When I really got into the Texas rap, the Screwed Up Click really stood out to me. You know, what DJ Screw was able to put together with a lot of people in his neighborhood. He had some family. He had some friends. Some of the group members were Big Pokey, ESG, Fat Pat, Lil Kiki, Big Mo, and Little Flip. These guys put out great, great music for the 90s. Yes, it didn't have a lot of positive. It didn't have no positive content. But at the same time, it was just very real. And when these guys were on the top of their game, it was the message was powerful. You know, like I said, it wasn't a lot of positive stuff, but it was these stories that, you know, some of us could relate to. And I mean, and it was nothing to go to, you know, a not such a great neighborhood and someone. And I mean, even here in DC, you know, guys driving down the street blasting Lil Kiki or blasting ESG. But yeah, it was just great memories. You know, I had a lot of good moments just listening to Screwed Up Click stuff. My number four, I picked the Dungeon Family. So, you know, Outkast, Goody Mob, Joy, Sleepy Brown. These are some of the members of Dungeon Family. They were great. You know, they were the down south version, I guess, of the Native Tongues. So to see a Southern group create that sound was a great thing because, you know, it showed that other regions could have this nice soulful sound of all these artists who can fit into different musical genres. My number three is the Soul Quarians. That's Questlove, J Dilla, Mos Def, Q-Tip, Common, Erykah Badu, and a couple of other artists. But these guys were considered the second coming of the Native Tongues. They had some powerful, powerful, powerful productions on like some, like, you know, Neo Soul is pretty much, these guys pretty much are the architects behind the Neo Soul movement. So, you know, to create this new sound that has been able to sustain this career, that's a good look for those. My number two are the Native Tongues. So you got Tribe Called Quest, Jungle Brothers, De La Soul, Queen Latifah, Busta Rhymes, Black Sheep, and many, many others. They were looked at as, I guess, one of the first backpack rapper groups. They had the soul with them. They had those unusual, I guess, flea market look to them. They weren't really afraid to test what the late 80s and early 90s was about. And they brought a fresh sound that has been able to, you know, more or less almost take over, you know, rap today. They had different samples. They had a different look. Everything about them was just different. And even though when people, you know, had their criticisms, they were able to still be successful despite of everything else being said. And my number one, I feel like who are the best rap collective of all time, the Juice Crew. So you have Big Daddy Kane, Biz Markie, Marley Marr, the producer, Master Ace, Kool G, MC Shan, Roxanne Shanté, and another member who came on later on was Intelligent Hoodlum, aka Tragedy Gaddafi. To me, this is the greatest rap collective of all time. I mean, you know, Kool G Rap is one of the best storytellers ever. Roxanne Shanté, she is one of the greatest females ever. MC Shan held his own against KRS-One in their rap beef. Marley Marr, an incredible producer. If you think you haven't heard of Marley Marr beats, you have. You look at LL's early career, the majority of that is Marley Marr's beats. Master Ace, oh man, Master Ace is an incredible, incredible, underrated underground MC. I mean, even today, you know, Master Ace did an album, I want to say 2018, and it's still like, I mean, this man, he still has, I mean, he might be 50 something years old now. I mean, he can still pick beats. He does some light producing. I mean, he's great. I mean, he's still producing great albums in the current format to have 30 years plus in the game. I mean, you know, and Biz, you know, Biz is one of the most comical, entertaining MCs we ever had. And Big Daddy Kane is just, you know, he was there compared to legends. You know what I mean? So to me, that's the greatest group ever that has ever come put together.
All right. That's what's up. Kev, really appreciate that deep insight into your picks for the top five rap collectives. All right. And with that, we will move into our next top five rap collectives with my main man, Terrell. Terrell, what were your top five rap collectives?
So my top five collectives was my first one. I'm going to go with OVO Sounds. And with OVO Sounds, you had a unique group with the star of this group, which was Drake. And then from there, you had a collective of different type of feeling genre music, which gives this collective right here that it puts with. You have Party Next Door, little R&B type vibe. Then you also had another person as in Division, and you had Majad Jordan. Then you had the little Caribbean coming in with Popcorn. That's amazing right there. You had different type of genre beats in one collective group. My next group was Brockhampton. This is a super group, but they are a collective. They have almost a good 10 to 15 members in their group. And what's so unique about them is the fact that none of their members are mainstream artists, but they are very known into the game. So you got these 15 people who trips you to this collective, to this group, different sound, different beats, different rap, some of them rap. That is very unique. And for none of them to be a mainstream artist, they underlook, they underground, but they underlook, but they still make good music. Then my next pick was Dungeon Family, that group right there. And I had to go back and see everybody that was on this group right here, collective. And I gotta say, the South had it man-made. I could tell you that the South had it man-made with Killer Mike, Big Boy, Andre D. Dalvin. I forgot they was all in this group. And my main man, CeeLo, I'm a big CeeLo fan. So seeing that all of them was on this group right here, I was like, they was running to the South back in the days. And I was like, this right here was a very unique group, and I love it. And then from there, I had to get my main man, Odd Future, you know, with Earl, Tyler, Frank Ocean, Taco, Jasper, Sid. They all are unique. They are successful right now, doing what they're doing. But when they was a group, they was powerful. And then I'm going to end it off, as what Kev said, me and him had the same pick, Native Tongue. That group right there with all their members, phenomenal. And that was my top five collective list.
All right, really appreciate that, Terrell. You really felt very passionate about those collectives, and I appreciate that. So now we're going to jump into it with my top five hip-hop collectives. And you know the old heads got to have their honorable mentions because we can't narrow our list down. So I'm going to start with my honorable mentions. My honorable mentions are going to be Cash Money, The Rough Riders, Flavor Unit, Flip Mode Squad. You know, I had to stop with the Flip Mode Squad because they were so close to making my top five. Because, you know, Busta is just one of my most favorite artists. Raw Digga was amazing. Rock Marciano was another amazing young cat. But, you know, those are my honorable mentions. So we're going to jump into it at number five, No Limit. The No Limit Soldiers, with starting with the main man, Master P, his brother, C Murder, Silk the Shaka, Mia X, Mystical. Man, they had a beautiful run. Fiend, his son, Little Romeo, Soulja Slim, Cain and Abel, Mercedes. And let us not forget that when Snoop Dogg left Death Row, he had to land somewhere. And from his own words, the best thing that ever happened to him was when he got to No Limit. So Snoop Dogg was also a member of No Limit, the No Limit Soldiers. They just put out so many great hits. It was an amazing time for them. I think that if Master P would have put a little bit more time into No Limit towards the end of, not that they have stopped, but towards the end of their hotness when they were at their highest peak, instead of, because he was really trying to make the league, he was trying to be in the NBA, that they probably could have lasted a little bit longer. All right, so moving into number four, we got Def Squad. Got to go with Def Squad with my man, Eric Sermon, Redman, Keith Murray, DOS Effects, K-Solo, Hurricane, Jamal, and then the man who put it all together, you know, with his scratching and beats, DJ Scratch. They just had a run. You know, if you were a fan of underground rappers, I'm not say underground, but rappers that really come hard with it and are very technically gifted, you got to love them. You know, many people have said Redman is the rapper's rapper, you know, and I believe that Keith Murray, if you ask me, of those rappers was the best out of all of them. So really got to show love for Def Squad. Then we move on to number three. And this is one that I did not hear many people mention, and this will probably bring something back in their memories. And that's the Love Bug crew. Herbie Azor Love Bug and his crew. And, you know, Herbie started out when he was doing some work with Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick on the Show project. And then with that money, he was able to roll into making Salt and Pepper into the phenomenal group that they became. Then he also had other artists on in his collective, and that was like Kid and Play. He had Kwame. He had Dana Dane. He had Sweet T. He had Antoinette. He had a couple R&B artists. I mean, he was just doing his thing. There was a hard run he had there for a minute, you know, and just really was doing big things. Outside of what happened with he and Salt-N-Pepa, he still was the man, and his collective was really putting out some really good work. Again, I think the only thing that stopped him was they were doing a lot of positive music going into the 2000s, and that's not where rap was headed at that time. But in general, you know, the Herbie Love Bug crew was amazing. All right, so let's jump into number two for me, and that was the Juice Crew. The Juice Crew, you know, like I've been saying, is manufactured by our man Marley Marl. His first artist was MC Shan, then Roxanne Shanté, then Biz Markie. A lot of people forget Craig G, Kool G Rap, DJ Polo, Big Daddy Kane. Like they said, Master Ace, Tragedy. A lot of people forget that if it wasn't for Mr. Magic, there would be no Juice Crew. And the Mr. Magic Show in New York really was the spotlight for hip hop at that time. So all these artists was able to get put on through Mr. Magic. And they also had a young lady on the group called in the collective, Debbie D. All right. And then my number one top five rap collective was the Native Tongue Posse. A lot of people forget the group that started the Native Tongues was the Jungle Brothers. And if it wasn't for the Jungle Brothers, there'd be no De La Soul. Was no De La Soul, there'd be no Tribe Called Quest. And then you got Black Sheep, Leaders of the New School, Chi Lee, Moni Love, Black Star, Common, the Bush Babies, you know, and their project when they did the remix to Buddy and everybody got on. Man, you know, they had affiliates like Queen Latifah was an affiliate, but she had her own thing going with the Flavor Unit. And it just was so amazing. You know, this was really an enjoyable topic for me. And I really appreciate us thinking of this. All right. And now we're going to go into our opinions of each other's list. So let's start with the youngest in charge. Malcolm, what was your thoughts on each person's top five rap collectives list?
I believe everyone did a outstanding job. You all came up with some, when we were not matching each other's picks, came up with some very unique and very, very solid collectives. I feel like everyone that you all mentioned, you all can back me here when I say this, they have all contributed to the hip hop game tremendously in some way and are legends. You talk about staples in hip hop and just talking about just influencing the culture. So I commend you all and look forward to doing more and more of these type of segments.
All right, that's what's up, Malcolm. I really appreciate that. Let's move into it with Terrell. Terrell, what were your thoughts on everyone's top five rap collectives?
I feel like as we've been doing these shows for now almost going on to a year now, I feel like all our lists, everything that we're doing right now, we're becoming more aware of each other's taste and music. And I feel like with this segment right here, we see that we identify that some of us, we have the same taste of music, which is unique because you wouldn't think that some of the old heads will have some young people on their list, and you would never thought that some of the young heads have some old people on the list, but then it came to a point where we both had similarity of collectives, and it's like it comes to show that we are growing into our taste of music, not just being one set mind on just one type of genre of music, but uniquely all type of music. And I feel like I'm happy and proud with the growth that we're doing, and I'm actually happy that I'm learning more about music and how it became and started. So that's my feedback.
I really appreciate that those words, Terrell. It was very heartfelt. Let's move on to Kev. Kev, what were your thoughts on the top five collectives of everyone?
You know, everyone has amazing taste in music, so just to hear, you know, the group or the collectives that they thought were impactful to them was just, you know, falls right in line. You know, it was some amazing list, amazing critiques, or, you know, what people felt like what they, their thoughts or their views and everything. And, you know, I think that our show is just about, you know, bridging that gap between the young and the old, but also showing the love and appreciation to everyone, young and old. And you can kind of see that in these lists because, you know, some of us had older and younger artists. And, you know, and that's what the whole show is about, you know, kind of getting an understanding or breaking down something that somebody does not understand, or even giving someone something new, you know, outside of the norm. So I think that's something we'd be able to all establish at some point along the lines.
Yeah, that's what's up, Kev. Man, I'm telling you, you were spot on with that. You know, you took the words right out of my mouth. And I was truly impressed with everyone's choices. I was glad that the old head was able to sneak one in on you with the Love Bug crew. Sadly, I did not pick any of the newer groups. I meant to mention Young Money because I do appreciate the Young Money crew and what they've done for the music in today's hip hop. But overall, I just thought that everyone did a very good job. And again, we're not trying to brainwash anybody, but we're trying to have conversations and introduce artists to the younger people as well as the older people so that we can all have a well-rounded conversation and appreciation for an art form that is uniquely Black. Let me say that again. Uniquely Black, even though we've started all of the American musics. Anything that is music oriented in America was started by people of color, but that's not the end all to be all. Hip hop is uniquely Black. It comes from a place of Blackness, you know, of color, you know, the Black kids and the Puerto Rican kids in New York coming together to squash beefs in order to have safe gatherings. Super, super important. So that's my love and my two cent on that. And with that, we'd like to say we really appreciate the listeners. We'd love for you to email us at with any questions or comments at underagroovenetwork@gmail.com. Again, that's underagroovenetwork@gmail.com. That is our production company. Terrell, tell them where they can follow us on social media.
They can follow us on Twitter at @MixedEraRap. That is @MixedEraRap. And they can follow us on Instagram at @MixedEraRapPod.
All right. Really appreciate that, Terrell. And with that, we'd like to say peace. We out of here.